Praise the Lord. This morning, we're going to continue our series on hearing God. And I asked Carmen to pray over the word, so we're ready. Are you ready? If you're not, get ready, because here we go, all right? He's speaking, but too often, too many are not really hearing. We need to learn to hear the voice of God more. I want you to understand this about hearing God. There are not four steps to hearing God. There's no formula that you can just learn and apply and stick into your life about hearing God. You can't crack the code on how to hear God. It's not like that, because it is all about a relationship. That's it. That's the focus. That's what we have to understand. We want to hear God. It is about a real relationship with Him each and every day of our lives. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, the Lord wanted a relationship with man. Jesus, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to reconcile us to the Father, to restore that relationship. And the message of the church for a lost world, it's the message of reconciliation, that there is a God who loves you and He has paid the price for your sins so that you can have a relationship with Him. I just want you to understand, this really is what it's all about, having a relationship with God. And it is in that close relationship with God that we can hear His voice, that He talks to us. Listen, it's not about us just, well, I just want to hear. We got to get the focus here right, that we want to be close to God. I mean, we're not supposed to just seek a blessing. We're supposed to seek the blesser, amen? I'm just seeking a healing. Well, no, we seek the healer. And we shouldn't just seek a word from God. We should seek God Himself. And He speaks to us as we walk with Him and we have that closeness with Him. But you can't microwave a relationship with God. There's no drive-through. You know what I'm saying? It takes time to develop a real closeness with the Lord. And we need to understand that. This morning, we go to the Lord sometimes and, you know, we say, okay, God, I need You to speak to me about this. And just speak to me right now, Lord. I want to tell you, that doesn't usually work. It works about as good as when you're sitting in traffic and the light turns green, but the car in front of you, is they're playing with their phone, and you start going, go, go. It doesn't work. And you know what? People go to the Lord and they just say, okay, God, tell me right now what I need to do in this situation. It doesn't usually work that way. Notice I didn't say never. God can do it however He wants to, but here's why He doesn't usually do it that way. Because He wants a relationship with you. It's not about us just getting information from heaven on what we need at the moment. It is about us having a real relationship with God every day of our life. He's not just your heavenly Google search. You know, I mean, modern technology is amazing. If you want to know something, you can find all kinds of information on the internet. A lot of it's wrong, but it's there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all kinds of stuff about anything. We go to God and we want it to be like that. Lord, just tell me this. Lord, I want to know this. I got questions. I've been serving the Lord for over 45 years. I got questions. I know that a lot of those things, they're not going to be answered until I get to heaven. He is not our heavenly Google search. No, He is our heavenly Father. And it is all about a relationship with Him. You know, problems in this life, there's things that are just too complicated and too difficult for us to just go online and find the answers to. And so, of course, certainly, we look to the Lord, but we can't just go to God and demand answers. Usually when we do that, we're just going to hear our own thoughts in our head. Why? Because he wants a relationship. It is out of and through that relationship that we hear God's voice. He doesn't just give us information. He wants intimacy with us. He wants us to know him. You know, in the society we live in, where everything is so quick and easy. But I want to tell you, when it comes to a relationship with God and hearing God, there's no quick and easy. It takes time, and it takes a real relationship that requires dedication. You know, we read these verses last week, but I want to go to John 10, verse 4. We'll just start there. He says, "The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." How do they know his voice? It's relationship. That's the only way that you can really know his voice. You know, we've all had people in our lives that we can recognize their voice instantly. I mean, when I hear Carmen's voice, I 100% know that's my sweetheart. No doubts whatsoever. See, it needs to be that way with us and the Lord, that we 100% recognize his voice. It's really strange to me when I pastored a small church in Oklahoma at one time. One day, I don't even remember what it was for, but we were having a dinner of some kind, and we needed some more fried chicken. And one of the ladies, she picks up the church phone, and she calls Winn-Dixie, because Winn-Dixie had a deli department with fried chicken in it. But when somebody answers, she doesn't identify herself. She just says, "Hey, Susie, I need to speak to Jan." In a minute, I guess Jan gets on the phone, because again, she doesn't identify herself. She just says, "Hey, we need some fried chicken. This is how much we need, blah, blah, blah." And I'm just sitting there thinking, how do all these people know each other? I mean, you know you're in a small town when everybody recognizes each other's voice. You know what I'm saying? But we ought to know the voice of the Lord that way. When we're so close to him, we absolutely know that's the voice of the Lord. In fact, the day and the time that we live in, I think it's more critical than ever, because there's so many voices coming at us all the time. I mean, through modern technology, we just live in this world where there's 1,000 voices coming at us every day, all day. We need to know the voice of the Lord. And I'm telling you, that only really happens through a close relationship. By the way, there's an example of that kind of thing when Peter was bound in prison and the church is really praying for him, because they had already put James to death. And so they're really praying in earnest for Peter. And he's set free and he comes to the house where they're praying. And a woman named Rhoda hears him at the gate and she recognizes his voice. But she's so excited, she doesn't even tell anybody, or she doesn't even let him in. She goes to tell everybody, "Hey, Peter's here." They thought she was out of her mind. But it really was Peter's voice. She recognized his voice. And we need to recognize the voice of the Lord that way. We know that's the Lord. And sometimes when you do and you say, "I know the Lord, it's the Lord. The Lord spoke this to me." Sometimes, just like Rhoda, people are going to think you're out of your mind. But when you know that you've heard from God, you see, how can you get to that place that you really know? It's about a relationship. You know, the time we live in, they can take somebody's voice and use AI. In fact, they can even take video and use AI to make that voice and change your lips on the video to make you say anything they want it to say. It's crazy. But I want you to understand, this is how we can know the Lord's voice. It's through relationship. In fact, there are a lot of voices in this world, in this religious world, that will try to act like this is God. You need to know the difference. And there's only one way you can. It's through a close, intimate relationship with God. That's the only way. I want to back up a few verses to John 10, 14. He says, "For I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." See, the more we know him, the more that we will know his voice. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, I know Jesus. I prayed the prayer. They met him, but they don't really know him. They don't really have that kind of close personal relationship with him. Think about this. The Apostle Paul had these amazing encounters with the Lord. And yet he says in Philippians 3:10, he says, I want to know Christ. There was still this hunger. There was still an earnest desire to know the Lord more. He wasn't satisfied with where he was at. There was this desire inside of him to be closer, to be more intimate with him. Church, we need that. You see, we need that in the body of Christ where people can't hear God's voice and don't really know the voice of the Lord. Oh, how desperately we need that kind of intimacy. I want to know Christ. I want to tell you, to know him, that's the most important thing. Amen. Jesus says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, some people think, well, this is eternal life, we go to heaven. You're missing it. It's all about knowing him. That's why we go to heaven, because we know him, because we have a relationship with him. But this is eternal life. He defines it for you. To know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. It's all about that relationship, that closeness, the intimacy with the Lord. You know, one time I was considering making a change, leaving a church and going to another church, and I'm praying about this, you know, asking God for direction, and it was the strangest thing to me. God gave me direction. This was it. Here's my direction: to know him more. That was the direction that he gave me. I'm praying about a position, you know, a job change and ministry change, and instead, he's talking to me, dealing with me about my relationship with him, to know him more. And out of that time, I ended up doing a year-long series on the character and the person of God, just studying him and learning about him and just wanting to know him more. Some of you remember that we did a series in 2011 called To Know Him. We did that a full year on Sunday mornings, just to know him, just wanting to know his person and really come to understand him in a deeper way. And I got to tell you that I read lots of books about knowing God, and I learned some good things from those books. They had some good things in them, but in a way, they all fell short to me. They were all lacking in some way, except for one book I found. I mean, what if there was a book that God did an autobiography, that he wrote about himself? I mean, what if he wanted to tell you about himself? Listen, through the pages of this book, he reveals himself to us. He tells us over and over. He shows us things about himself through his works and the way that he moves and the things that he does. He reveals himself. If you really want to know God, read the scripture. I know, you may get lost in the genealogies of Leviticus, but I'm telling you, throughout the pages of the Word of God, you will find him. If you really want to know him, you'll search the scriptures. You seek him in his Word. You want to hear his voice, and yet he has spoken here, where you can hear him, where you can read what he says. And if we don't care enough to hear his voice, then we won't even read what he's spoken. How much do we really want to hear? Well, I want to hear about this specific thing. But he speaks to you about life, about the most important things in life. And you're not bothering to see what he says and to hear. I'm just telling you, if you want to know him, You really want to know him? You want a closer relationship with him? Then you spend time in his word. Because that really is the most important thing, is to know him. It's the only thing that we're really supposed to brag about. It's to brag about the Lord. But this in particular, in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, in the NIV, it says it this way. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. Now, those are some of the things that people in this world like to brag about. Now, there's some others. You might have one personally, something you like to brag about. Don't. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me. Well, here's the one thing we can brag about. I know the Lord. We got a real relationship with him where we actually know him and understand him. See, to have that kind of a personal relationship, and when we do, we recognize his voice. And the more that we know him, the more we know his voice. And I want to tell you this very plainly. We'll see it in the scripture, but he speaks to those who are close to him. Abraham was the friend of God, and God spoke to him time and time again because of the relationship that Abraham had with the Lord. I mean, when the Lord gets ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he confides in his friend Abraham. Do you have a close friend or a loved one that you can confide in about the things that are important to you? Listen to this from Genesis 18, 17 through 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him. God knows everybody. But he knew Abraham in a special way. There was a close relationship there where he called him his friend. And the Lord reveals this to Abraham. Can you imagine? What if God was going to bring judgment on some city now? Oh, some of you are thinking, oh, that's not right. Read the Bible. Y'all real quiet. Anybody ever read the Bible know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you. People have a different picture of God than what the Bible says. It's amazing to me how people don't know things about God, and they want to hear God's voice, but they don't even care enough to read the Bible to learn and understand who he is. But can you imagine what that would be like, and you had such a close relationship with God, and he speaks to you and shows you? That's what happened to Abraham. Amazing to have such a closeness with God, that he would trust you like that. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks to people who are not close to him. It's rare, but sometimes he speaks to people who are close to him. But a lot of the time, even when he does, they need somebody that's close to him to explain to them what it means. That's a good example of that, one of many. In Daniel chapter 5, King Belshazzar, he makes this great feast, and he uses the vessels, the articles, the holy things from the temple that he has stolen, he uses them for this feast. Really, really bad thing to do. And he sees this hand, a man's fingers writing on the wall, but he doesn't know what the writing means, and none of his wise men know what the writing means. But the queen tells him, Daniel 5:11, she says, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. So they call for Daniel. He tells them what it means, that it means that judgment is coming. And it came that very night. But why did they call for Daniel? Because he was close to God. If you want to really hear God, get close to God. There's not a quick, easy way. You got to have a real relationship with him. But hear me now. Don't get close to God just because you want to hear him. No, we just want to be close to God. But I'm telling you, that's where it begins. If you want to hear God's voice, it comes out of and through a close relationship with the Lord. Do you know, the disciples were told a lot of things. They got to hear a lot of things that others didn't. I mean, just right out of the gate, certainly we can understand this. They were with Jesus 24/7. If you're with somebody 24/7, you're going to get to see and hear and know things that other people don't know, right? But it was deliberate on Jesus' part. Matthew 13, 10 and 11, the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, a lot of people nowadays, they like to say, "Oh, well, Jesus told parables as illustrations." There are some examples of that where that's probably the case, but that's not at all the case in this instance. In fact, Jesus gives a very different reason. He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." You see, they had a relationship, a closeness with Jesus that not everybody had. They had chosen to do life with Jesus. They left all to follow him. Follow him. What was he asking them to do? To come be with him. And I want to tell you that we can be close to Jesus as his followers. It's up to us. We got to be willing to make that choice that he's the most important thing in our life. And if we do, then we choose to spend time with him in prayer and in the word. We want that relationship with him. See, hearing God, I must say it again, it's not about a formula. It is a relationship where you know his voice because you know him. And the best way to develop that relationship is in prayer and in the word. But he ought to be so much our life. The Bible says Christ, who is your life. He ought to be so much our life that we do life with him every day, all day, that he's with us and we communicate with him. I mean, before our feet hit the floor when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we think of ought to be the Lord. David said in Psalm 139, verse 18, he says, "When I awake, I'm still with you." You're still here, Lord. I wake up and here you are, Lord. And you see, that's a great way to start your day. Before you even head out of the house, you're already thinking about the Lord, spending some time in his word and in prayer, you know. And then as you head out for your day, you pray that God will give you strength for the challenges of the day. You pray that he'll give you wisdom for the things you don't know. You know, before you walk into school, before you walk into the workplace, you pray that God will give you wisdom and help you to do the things you need to do. You pray that God will use you in some way, that you'll be a witness for him, be a blessing to somebody today. You pray and you thank God for your food. All through the day, you're praying about things and this relationship with God. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not a once in a while thing. No, if we want to hear God in our lives, we need this kind of relationship where he's the most important thing in our life. And we're close to him. You know, when we really know him that way, things change. This isn't a quick fix for a closeness with the Lord. You know, it is a daily thing that we do each and every day of our life, that we seek him and we want to know him and we want to be close to him. It is a love relationship. A love relationship. Now, I need to clarify here, I'm not talking about the world's kind of love. That's different. It's flighty, it's superficial, it's more talk than walk. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:18 that we should love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. It needs to be something with action to our love. And you see, a lot of people, they say they love Jesus, you know, they sing the song, "I love you, Lord," and they got some warm, fuzzy feelings, but if we really love the Lord, it impacts the way that we live. It changes how we do, what we do. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15, verses 14 and 15. These are the words of Jesus. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command." What? if that's right. There's a lot of people claiming to be friends with Jesus. That's not what he said. He didn't say all believers are my friends. He said, if you do what I command. Listen, I don't write this stuff. I'm just the messenger boy. But this is not only the word of God. These are the very words of Jesus. We're his friends. You want to be tight with Jesus? You want to be close enough to him to know his voice? He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Then he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all the things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And see, I've heard a lot of people, they want to quote and talk about verse 15, that we're not just servants now, we're friends, and he reveals things to us, but they want to skip over verse 14. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. And then he reveals things to us. I mean, he says it so plain and so clearly here. You see, when we do what he commands us, no longer does he call us just servants. No, we're his friends. For all the things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is why obedience is so important. It shows where our heart is. And let me tell you something about disobedience. See, this religious culture in America, it's like disobedience doesn't matter, or obedience doesn't matter. No biggie, doesn't matter. That's not in the Bible. And when we disobey God, it takes us away from him. Obedience, when we walk with the Lord and we do what he says we're his friends, and it brings us into this closeness with God. When we refuse to obey God, we disobey God, it leads us away from God. Let me give you a blatant example. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says we should pray this way, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And at the end of the prayer, the very first thing he says is, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive men, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive your sins. See, whenever we disobey the word of the Lord, it takes us away from him. We're moving away from him. But when we obey the word of God, see, when we love him enough, this is not about a to-do list, you know, don't do this and do this. It's not about that. It is about a love relationship where we love him so much that we want to obey him. We want to do what he wants us to do. We want to be close to him. I'm not challenging anybody's salvation. That's between you and God. What I'm saying is, if you want to be close to him, the scripture makes it clear. You want to be his friend, you're going to have to do what he says. You're going to have to love him enough that you'll obey him. Listen to this from John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Not the person who says it, not the person who's got the bumper sticker. It's the person who has and keeps his commands. Who said it? Jesus. It's amazing to me how so many people that profess to love Jesus don't even like a whole lot of what he says. They just don't understand. He loves us. He wants this closeness with us. And if you want to be close to God, if you want to hear his voice, obedience matters. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You can't leave the obedience out of this. If you want to have a close relationship with God, we got to love him enough to obey him. Jesus says this, John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Make our home with him. This is amazing. Jesus says, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Wow. How would you like for God to just make his home with you? It's not automatic. Listen, it's available to all of us, but he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. That's a love relationship. And he will come and live with us. But we can't just ignore the if. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. See, to be close to him and hear his voice, you got to walk in obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, the Philistines had come against the Israelites. And King Saul had disobeyed the Lord many times. But when the Philistines come against him, he's afraid. And so he begins to, the Bible says, inquire of the Lord. He's calling out to God. He's asking God for help. He's asking God to show him what he needs to do. And the scripture says, the Lord did not answer. Obedience matters. Another time when the people of God had been living in disobedience, the prophet Amos spoke to them. He said this, Amos 8:11, it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine is coming, he said. It was because of their disobedience that they were not going to hear the word of the Lord. I want you to know there is a famine in a lot of believers' lives. Yes, they believe in God, but they're not really serving the Lord. They're not walking in obedience. There are things that they know. They're just living in disobedience, not really obeying God. Listen, I'm not talking about us being perfect. No, it's only by grace that we are saved. But I'm talking about where we know that there's things in our life and we just choose to disobey God. We want a closeness with God. We want to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. We got to walk with the Lord and obey him. They can't play games with God. They can't just play church and be religious. It has to be real. It is a love relationship where he is truly first in our lives. James 4:8. One of the most amazing promises of the Bible to me, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's up to us. It's amazing. He puts the ball in our court. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There's songs about it. People love to quote it and talk about it. But it's not the whole verse, is it? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. What? We're not even supposed to talk that way in church, are we? Much less out on the world. Come on. Can we say that in the church culture of the day? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Yes, this is what the Bible says in the same verse as draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Listen, we got to get this. We want to be really close to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Get rid of the things in your life that you know are not right, that are not pleasing to the Lord. And then he says, purify your hearts. You see, it's a heart issue. You got to get your heart right. He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, so often people are double-minded. They want to be close to God, but they're just not really willing to clean up their life and wholeheartedly serve God. They just, you know, they want enough of God to help them in the hard times, but they don't want to really live for God and be tight with him. He won't share you. The first of the Ten Commandments is have no other gods before me. He is a jealous God. That's what the Bible says. He is a jealous God. He will not share you. You cannot have a divided heart and be close to God. You got to purify your heart. You got to make up your mind. You got to choose, decide that He's the most important thing in your life, that you want Him more than anything else. Because if you don't want Him more than anything else, you won't really know Him. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." All your heart. See, God knows our hearts better than we. It has to be real. It has to be sincere. Make that choice to truly let Him be first in your life. Serve Him, seek Him, love Him. See, we talk about love. This is how we're supposed to love Him. With all our heart and mind and soul and strength. And if we are not willing to truly serve God and obey God in our life, there's some area in there where we're not loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And He deserves that. I want you to stand with me. We're going to have our prayer partners come.